Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
Getting you set for the biggest game since Super Bowl 50. Sunday night showdown between the Broncos and Chiefs at Arrowhead. Here's Stokely and Zach.
Biggest game for the Denver Broncos since Super Bowl 50. Fair statement, Brandon Stokely?
Ooh!
What would be another candidate?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a long time, buddy. It's a long time to think back. I mean, they were 9-7 the next year. Did they have some big games that year? I mean, they had to be close to making the playoffs.
Yes.
So one or two games there. I just think with what has happened here over the last 5 years, haven't had a winning season since 2016. You haven't beat the Chiefs since 2015?
Yes, September, I think it was September 14th, 2015, last time the Broncos beat the Chiefs.
I mean, it's up there if it's not. I mean, I can agree with that. You put in context everything else, and now it's a Sunday night game. You've won three out of your last four. It's a huge game. You're trying to get back to relevancy. Yeah, I can go there. Big game.
Let me bounce this question off you, and we're going to react to some of the stuff that Vic said here in a second. And now I just forgot my question. I pulled the stoke.
Don't put me into this.
I pulled the stoke.
Whoa. Oh, leave me out of this. Not the one that just...
Oh, I remember.
Oh, now you remember.
Now I'm pulling a Zach.
Yeah. Oh.
On the mark.
Screw you.
Is the goal of the Broncos season already achieved?
No. What? What have we done? What have they done?
I'm going back to preseason. Steve Levy and Brian Greasy on the call. George Payton throws on the headset. He said, our goal is to be playing relevant games in November and December. Well, you've already played some relevant games in November. Now you got a winning record and you're playing at a primetime big football game in December. I know not from the fan base, but from behind the four walls at Dove Valley. I remember a couple of years ago, I think the Broncos were coming off a 5-11 season. And you said if the Broncos finish 8-8, they'll be under the table fist bumps.
Right, which I was spot on.
You were.
Been doing like popping bottles. You know, let's close the door, let's pop a bottle. We got to 500.
Right. So.
Get that
Moet.
That Momo.
Get that Momo. With the sparkler on it, too.
Where's that Cristal? Give me that big bottle. What's the new ones they call the big ones that they have now?
Oh, I've seen some of those big bottles.
Yeah, like that's what they, you know.
Magnums.
Yeah. The NBA championship. They go to Vegas and they,
get the big.
And they, $150,000 night.
Yeah. No joke.
Yeah.
I mean, that whole lifestyle is just crazy.
I don't even like champagne. It's not even that good.
I like champagne.
I'm about to take a couple sips, and then that's a wrap on that.
Yeah, you can't drink it all night, right?
Bring me something else. I mean, it's all for show to me. It's all for show.
So, the question from the Broncos' perspective, not yours, right. Not mine, not Richie's, not our listeners.
Yeah, gotcha.
From the Broncos' perspective, is the objective reached?
No. I think... Yeah, I hear what George Payton is saying. You want to play, meaningful games, but not just one, not just two meaningful games. You know what I mean? You want to be playing a meaningful game December or January 2nd against the Chargers. Now, if that's a meaningful game, all these other ones have been meaningful games. Now maybe you can say that.
Yeah.
But it's a lot more than just playing one or two of them.
Right.
You want all these things to mean something. So that means you're doing well. That means you haven't fallen apart like they did when they were, 6-6?
In 2018.
And lost their last four.
They got to 6-6, and then they lost at San Francisco against Cleveland.
The George Kittle game.
The George Kittle game, yep, that's right. They lost to the Raiders, and then they finished up the season losing 23-9 to the Chargers.
So, I mean, you don't want that to happen. But I think that they are heading in the right direction. But in order to look back at the full season and say we played meaningful games, you're going to have to win some of these games to make the next one a meaningful game.
You know, if you think back to the 2016 season, and I don't want to live here in the past all day, but when you talk about biggest games since Super Bowl 50, you go back to the season after the season, right? The season after Peyton Manning retires, after Super Bowl 50, where the bones of that roster are still very much in place. You know, DeMarcus Ware, I believe, was still on that team, right, the year after. You had the no-fly zone was still intact. You know, Derek Wolfe and, Chris Harris and Darian Stewart, all these guys are still here. You're 7-3 going into the bye. The bye was week 11. So you come out of the bye, you're like thinking that, man, Peyton was kind of propped up by that roster. Maybe they could win with whatever quarterback because the roster's so good, the defense is so good. And, it just unraveled. They lost four of their last six games of the year. So they went from 7-3. You lose against Kansas City. That was not the first loss to start this streak, but there was a win against Jacksonville there where I remember Paxton Lynch had to play. Then you lose. The Broncos lost three straight. So you go to 8-5, then you go to 8-6, then you go to 8-7, and they went into week 17, no playoff chances. Had the whole pack. Is Paxton going to play? Is Trevor going to play?
Yeah, at home.
At home, yep. But maybe we're a little bit of a prisoner of the moment because of that season.
Right.
And what was still attainable. But outside of that, nothing really comes close to this Sunday.
I think, it's a big game. It's on prime time. It's against the champs. It's against the champs. It's not against the Raiders. This is a meaningful game. It's against a team that's leading the division, a team that's won the AFC West now for, 5 years in a row,
whatever
it's been.
Yeah.
They've been in the Super Bowl, seems like, every year. They won one of them. It's just they're a really good football team, and they've been that way now for a while. So I think you put that in there. You put where the Broncos are, where the Chiefs are. And it's like you look at the Chiefs and you say, okay, look, we know who the Chiefs have been. And we know what they have done. We know we haven't beat them since 2015. But this year just feels a little bit different, right? I think for everyone, when you look at the Chiefs, you're like, okay, they're beatable. We can get them this year. Now, they're playing a little bit different now.
They're playing better.
It's like they figured some things out. Their defense is playing much better. I mean, they gave up 9 points to the Cowboys. Okay? Look, the Cowboys aren't perfect, but their Chiefs defense was supposed to be, like, historically bad. And they gave up 9 points to the Cowboys. Right?
They haven't lost in a month.
Right. I mean, they've won four in a row.
Yep.
They've won five out of the last six. They're getting on a roll now. They're figuring some things out. So, but still, this team is like this is the year.
It does feel
about
like
last
the year,
the year before. It's like, oh, no, forget it.
Yeah.
Forget it. Probably not taking down the Chiefs. But this year seems like it could be the year that you could actually do it. And then, if you do.
Because of both who the Broncos are and who the Chiefs haven't been.
That's right.
For the entirety of the season.
Yes. And they have their issues there, and we'll see if they've really figured them out or not, but it just seems like this could be the year.
Yeah.
So I think you put all that together and you look at this game, and yeah, I think it is. And, we might say that in another 3 weeks that this game against the Raiders on the road is the biggest game that we've had.
Right.
And hopefully we do.
Yeah.
And that could be the case.
It could be the case. You keep on winning games, these games become more important.
That's right.
There's more pressure involved. But as I said to you last week, I told James yesterday, pressure is a privilege. It's earned. These games aren't important for, teams like, a 3-8 Seahawks team, a 4-7 Bears team. Who cares, right?
We got to get in that Russell Wilson conversation.
I'd love to.
I was watching that and what's the compensation for that guy? Do you even want to go down that road anymore? Are you nervous about making a trade like that? And I get it, he's coming off an injury, but I think all that's relevant. Those were the questions going into my mind sitting in Sioux Center, Iowa. Okay?
Metropolis.
Watching that game. Yeah. So.
Epicenter.
Eating my Dairy Queen Blizzard.
Oh!
Yeah.
What'd you go with?
I went with the Reese's Peanut Butter cookie dough.
I see. You.
Like cookie dough Reese's peanut butter. Oh,
I see,
man. I'm like, what am I doing? I can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, and just once you start, you just can't stop.
I know.
And it had been like 4 days since I had worked out. And
I noticed that when I saw you here, I'm like, there, I don't know what happened since the last time I saw you, but.
There we go.
Little muffin. I pay attention.
Okay. Thank you.
But I'll say this about. You know, you saying like, hey, this feels like it's the year. It feels like that's the case across the entire National Football League. You know, someone texted in earlier in the show on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043, and they said even the Broncos' best wins over Dallas and the Chargers, those teams are just okay, and anyone can beat those teams on any given day or whatever they said. And you can say that about the entire league. This year is just crazy. It's the craziest year I remember, where I don't care if you're the reigning Super Bowl champs and Tom Brady. In the last month, I've seen Tom Brady outdueled by Trevor Siemian and Taylor Heineke.
Yeah.
Like, you can't make this stuff up. You know, Buffalo's no secure thing. The Rams. How about the Rams? What is a 3-game losing streak now? Try to buy a title.
Come on.
Matthew Stafford. No shortcuts, I told you.
Sean McVay, Matthew Stafford, acting like that was a, you know, they're over there. Kank and Cabo and...
I mean, seriously, since they made the trade for Vaughn and OBJ, they haven't won.
Yeah, they got too giddy about the Matthew Stafford thing. And they just dismissed Jared Goff, which is fine, but I didn't like the way they... I think it's karma is what I'm trying to say.
Ooh.
Here. You got bad karma over there.
Mm.
How you just kicked Matthew Stafford, you know, like right in the back, or just kicked him out of the door and then brought in Matthew Stafford and thought everything was going to be fine. Now, it was all Jared Goff's issue. That's why we didn't win the Super Bowl. That's why we haven't done this and that. It's not me, Sean McVay. And then like, oh, let's go get Vaughn and let's go get OBJ. What's their record since then?
0-3.
Yeah, take that. Take that.
Take that.
What's our record? What's our record since that?
Ooh.
Just asking for
the
a friend.
The first game was against the Dallas Cowboys, so 2-1.
Okay. Just asking for a friend.
2-1.
Pass rush looked pretty good last week.
Pass rush looked pretty good.
Just friend told Birdie. Birdie told me that.
Getting after it.
These are just the facts,
mm-hmm.
right? It's not mm-hmm. taking a shot. These are the facts. How many sacks does he have up there? He missed it. He missed another game. So he's played in, I don't know, how many games has he played in there?
I think two.
Because he missed one.
I think he missed the first one. I think he came back against the Niners.
Yeah,
but he got flat back by George Kittle.
Oof. How many sacks does he have up there?
I don't think he has one.
Mm. Okay.
I don't think he has one.
I don't know what y'all talking about.
Well, anyway, look. How do we get down that? Oh, we're just talking about. But it is. Either you win them or you lose them, Zach, right?
Right.
That's it. Either you take. I don't care who you play. No, there is no teams that are unbeatable this year.
No.
There's just not.
No.
I mean, there's not that team that you look at and say, oh, my gosh, you're not going to be able to beat the Tennessee Titans.
Right.
You're not going to be able to beat the Baltimore Ravens. Are awful, and they're 8-3. I mean, they're awful. I watch that offensive football team, and I'm like,
can't wait to bet against them in the playoffs.
What are we?
I'm just sitting patiently in the long grass.
Just patient.
Yep.
Just waiting.
Yep.
Just waiting.
Just like, stalking my prey.
Pounce.
It's like that.
Okay, let me know when you're ready to pounce. Let me know when you're ready to pounce.
Yeah, I've been
just,
on it.
But you look at it, and you just. You know, you watch some of these teams, and I mean, the Bills. What had happened to the Bills? I mean, they lost to the Colts by 100 at home, and mm-hmm. they lost to the 2 weeks before to the Jags on the road, where they only scored mm-hmm. 6 points. So you look at stuff like that, and you're like,
right?
Who is okay? I mean, everybody's gettable, everybody's beatable this year.
We just saw the Cardinals, who are 9-2, get beat like a drum 2 weeks ago by the Panthers.
That's right. At home, at their place.
Yeah.
So yeah,
34-10.
It's a crazy, crazy league right now. And either you take care of the business or don't. And you don't apologize if you do.
Right.
Right. We look at the Washington game and we'll nitpick it a little bit and we'll do this and do that. But then all of a sudden you see Washington the next week or whatever beat up on Tom Brady and the Bucks. It's a crazy league, and you just take care of your business and you move on and you don't apologize when you win.
Yep. That's why we love it though.
Yep.
It's not college football. You know, you don't just show up and win every week like Cincinnati does. You know?
Roll your
eyes, Richie.
Cincy's going to take that L this week to Houston.
They are not.
Cincy's taking that L this week, and it's all coming crashing down. Bearcats going to be crying. You're going to be crying. I'm going to be laughing like, told you so.
Hey, if they win this weekend, you are going to be looking at a very, very happy man. Very happy man.
Why is that? I mean, why?
Why
would you be very happy?
Because I called my shot week one of the college football season. That's why. When they had less than a 1% chance to make the playoff, and you weren't talking about them.
Because I don't like them.
Well, I do.
I don't like
my Bearcats.
I don't like them.
All right.
Did you put any kind of? Did you put any action on that? Did you put anything? Did you back it up with action?
I've backed it up with action every single week in and week out. I'm in the trenches with my guys.
Yeah. Well,
I'm in the trenches with my guys.
Had a bad stretch where they weren't covering. I don't know if you remember that.
No, I remember it well.
Oh, okay.
Like beating Navy by a touchdown.
Yeah.
And, edging out Tulsa. Yeah.
Because the quarterback slid. Like, how do you slide at the 1 yard line? Like, you're doing a keeper from the 1 yard line and you slide at the 1 yard line on third down.
Bad ball.
How does that happen?
Bad ball.
You can't slide with one guy there. If you keep it, you jump in the end zone or lower your shoulder.
It's inexplicable.
This kid slid. Like, what, did he just slide at the one? Anyway, go ahead.
All right.
What we got? What we talk about? Vic?
What we're first going to talk about is what happened on November 27th, 2016.
November 27th, 2016. The defending Super Bowl champion Broncos were 7-3. Coming off the bye as the Chiefs made their way to Mile High for a primetime Sunday night showdown. A thrilling back-and-forth contest appeared to be over when Denver took an 8-point lead late.
Simeon to throw, floats it for the sideline. Caught by Fowler down the left sideline at midfield to the 30. Fowler to the 20, to the 10. Touchdown! 76 yards! The Broncos go up top, and Mike just put that one away.
However, Alex Smith rallied, and Kansas City tied the game with just 12 seconds remaining.
Smith rolls right, throws on the run for the end zone. It is caught. The two-point conversion is good, and the Chiefs march down the field and tie the game with 12 seconds to play.
In overtime, after the teams traded field goals, Gary Kubiak faced a tough decision and trotted out Brandon McManus to win the game.
For the win for McManus, good snap, good hold, the line drive kick is low and no good from 62 yards, and Denver rolls the dice and they come up empty.
With a short field, Andy Reid's Chiefs had a chance for a chip shot to win the game. And has been the case over the last 6 years in this rivalry. Everything just seems to go the Chiefs' way. That was Kansas City's second straight win over the Broncos. Who would have known they'd go on to win the next nine as well? Does the streak end Sunday night? It's the biggest game since Super Bowl 50. Broncos, Chiefs, Arrowhead this Sunday.
Man, what a... it's kind of crazy to look back at some of these and just the way that they went down and...
I was at that game.
Is that right?
I was at that game. I remember it now that we go back through it.
Two for two for you that season.
Yeah. I was there with my son, and it was a night game. It was a night game.
Did you leave early to beat traffic?
Yes. I was like, let's go. We got to get out of here. We got to beat the traffic. He has school the next day, Zach. So
that's not why you left. You didn't want to sit in traffic.
That's right. I got high anxiety.
Yep.
That's just an issue I have. I know it. And it's just, it is what it is. So, got to be traffic, Zach. And so, we got out early and we're running. And he's like, he didn't want to leave. He didn't want to leave. And he's like, I said, whatever. I said, this thing is not going to end. He said something about it being a tie. I'm like, it's not going to end in a tie. Let's go. We're going to hurry up. We're going to get out of here. And I said, okay, I'll give you, if this thing ends in a tie, I'll give you $100. And you see when Kansas City kicked that field goal and it hit the post?
2 seconds
left. Yeah. That's how close it was to a tie.
Wow.
And that's why I'll never kind of forget that because I made him leave and he didn't want to leave. But I'm like, we're leaving, getting home. It's late. And it almost ended in a tie. But that's just kind of how the Broncos, even when they're close and they have chances and it just hasn't gone their way, Kansas City's made a few more plays than them. And that's been the theme here for, since that last one there in 2015 and that one, it looked like they had it. Looked like they had to win up eight, and, you know, there it was. And
it's a 31-yarder from, was it 31?
For who?
McManus.
No, 60-something.
Oh, I'm sorry. 62.
That was a lot of people were talking about that, too, right? That was the play where you look at where they were, a minute eight left. What do you do? What do you do, Zach? Okay, put yourself in a head coach. You're trying to win the football game, obviously, right? It's tied. You got a minute eight left. What should you do? Do you kick a 62-yarder? Or do you just punt it and say, we're tapped out. We're throwing in the white flag. We know we can't win the football game. Pretty much, right? You're not going to win the football game if you punt.
Right.
That's the mindset.
Right.
Or do we try a 62-yarder, and if we miss a 62-yarder, they get the ball at like the
44.
Yeah, the 44-yard line. What do you do?
Man, I mean,
do you kick it or do you punt it?
I think you, with McManus in altitude, you kick it.
You kick it.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Now, if you're kicking in Baltimore and it's November, now this was, if I recall correctly, yeah, the weather was fine that night. I don't remember it being really cold or anything, but it's like you're in Baltimore and it's cold, or depending on the conditions, that might change it, but.
Yeah.
Why are you smiling? What's going on over there? You looked at your phone. You're smiling.
No. Well, okay. I was going to make a joke. You said I don't remember the weather that night. I was going to say because you watched the games inside. You know, how would you know the weather?
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
But I also did get a text. I did get a text from one Lana Stokely.
Uh-oh.
And she said, Zach, he leaves early from the Valor football game because he's afraid he's going to get stuck in traffic. He's such a dork.
Mind your business, Lana.
Yes.
Mind your business. They do make fun of me.
Stokely! Wow!
You have to leave the high school game early?
Well, they're blowing them out, too. Oh. Like, Valor's blowing them out. So it's like, all right, let's get out of here.
Like the traffic light to leave, just it goes quick, so you want to get to it first.
That's right. Y'all aren't funny.
Oh my God.
But what do you do? No, seriously, I think you got to kick it. A lot of people were giving. I remember Kubiak, they were giving him grief, and they were like, why did he should have punted it? But you're throwing in the white towel at that point.
Right.
You got McManus. I think you kick it in that situation. You try, anyway.
I think they made the right move.
It just didn't work out.
It just didn't work.
Like a lot of these.
It just didn't work out, you know? So, but unfortunately, the Broncos haven't had enough games like this against Kansas City.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you're looking for a rock-solid competitive game that is neck and neck in the fourth quarter. Whether they win or lose, that's what you said earlier in the show that you're looking for. Well, that was the case that night in Denver in 2016. A night where Trevor Siemian went for 368 yards, 3 touchdowns, and no picks.
How about that?
368. Passer rating was 125. But this was the game, if I'm not mistaken, this was Tyreek Hill's coming out party. Richie, was this is that game, right? This is Tyreek Hill's coming out party. Where it was like a kick to the house.
It has it on the notes. Tyreek Hill's coming out party.
A receiving touchdown.
Yeah, it's there.
He had a rushing touchdown, and he brought a kick to the house.
Yeah, he.
That was like, whoa, like this guy is a freak.
Or something.
It hadn't been done since 1965. You know who did it in 1965? Gale Sayers.
Oh.
Like that was the last time someone pulled off a hat trick like that. Remember where Gale Sayers played college football?
Illinois?
Close. Kansas.
Kansas. Dang it.
All right. Our midweek in-season staple, reacting to the win over the Chargers this past week, we got Stockwatch coming up next.
Who's trending up?
What a good call. Flex is in there buying back stock. The quarter was really good. I am surprised that stock is still stuck at $12 when it deserves to be at $14.
Who's trending down?
You look at stocks and try to decide if they're fairly valued, if they're overvalued, if they're looking cheap at this point.
It's Stokely and Zach's Stock Watch.
I do not care where stocks have been. I care where they're going.
I do not care where stocks have been. I care where they are going. Our in-season staple, Stockwatch. reacting to the previous week. No, this is not a judgment on who these guys will be moving forward, not even to the following week. It's simply a reaction to the Week 12 victory, 28-13 over the Los Angeles Chargers. As always, we start with the quarterback. That's Teddy Bridgewater. Are we buying, selling, or holding?
It's a little bit of a tricky one. A little bit of a tricky one because you look at his stats and you say, probably sell, right? 11 for 18, 129 yards, 7.2 average, one touchdown, no interception. But I think when you look at the play he made with his feet, getting in the end zone there, that was a really nice play. The stiff arm on Bosa, sit down, be humble.
Impressive.
Let me throw this thing to Salbert, give him his first NFL touchdown.
Sit down, be humble.
Right?
I love that.
I'm buying.
Buy.
I think you have to buy when you look at it all and you talk it through and you just, that's why you can't just look at stats and say,
right,
look at these stats that he had. You know, he probably didn't play that well. Well, he got hurt, fought through it, made a few plays, perfect. Didn't turn the football over and, you know, made a couple of nice plays there. That one to Salbert was nice and getting in the end zone was really nice. So,
does he make that play with his feet if what happens against Philly doesn't happen?
It's a good question.
Because we don't see Teddy do that. And you could tell the Chargers defense was like caught flat-footed.
Well, I think that's how all defenders are now. When quarterbacks get close to the sideline, what do you do?
And then he turned it upfield. Even the broadcaster was like, we don't normally see Teddy turn upfield.
We've seen him do it before, though, so it's not like a one-of. He's put his body on the line before.
I don't see it on a regular basis.
No, I don't want to see it on a regular basis.
Yeah, okay,
right?
There you go.
I think there's a time and place, and that was the time to do it. I would say yes. I think he would have done it regardless.
Okay. I disagree. I think there was an emphasis in his mind to, if there's a chance to lay out, I'm going to lay out.
Put it all on the line.
Put it all on the line.
Certainly. That's fair.
But we'll never know.
It's always going to be a but.
We get to the other quarterback that played on Sunday, Drew Lock.
Sell. I mean, what do you say?
I'm not into Drew Lock.
What else?
Go back to the bench.
Come on,
John Elway's shadow is better than you,
Colin.
Win more games, Cub Scout.
Gotta throw names in there.
Wow,
Uncle Colin, not in a good mood today.
No. Look, I mean, I don't want to just kick a man when he's down, but what are you doing? You know, you're up 14-0. You got the momentum. It's close to half. You just can't take that chance, and that's what he's done too much.
Yeah.
That's been the Achilles heel for him is in those situations.
The timing was so bad.
Just chuck it out of bounds.
Yeah, you're at midfield with like a minute and 40 left in the half or whatever it was. It's like that's the one thing that you cannot do. And that was after the fumble.
I hate Drew Lock.
Rex!
Oh, Rex. Yes, that was, that was after, exactly.
So like, how many snaps did Drew Lock play? 12?
I don't even know.
Like 13? Seriously. Probably five of them were handoffs, seven of them were passing attempts, and we got a fumble and an interception. I just, you know, I don't know what to do. I don't know.
It's becoming a theme here with Drew. Always something bad. Just seems like, right? Like, oh my goodness, the fumble. And then the interception, and you only had that many plays. So how can a coach trust him? I mean, now you know why they're pushing Teddy out there with one leg against Cleveland in last game, just praying that he would be able to play. You just can't trust Drew to do the right things.
Should he still be the backup quarterback? I want to hear your answer to that a little bit later. Okay. We will hashtag circle back to it.
Once again, you can't make that throw. Just can't make that throw. And he's trying to throw it low in a way where it's his guy ball or nobody's ball, right? But still, it ends up not being that way. You just, in that situation, Live to see another day. Throw it away. You got little over, 1 minute left to go in the half, and you're up 14-0. It's going to be 3rd and 8 at the 50.
Can't do it.
No.
All right, we're playing Stock Watch. Which Broncos are we buying? Which Broncos are we selling? Which Broncos stock do you just want to hold on to? Reacting only to the Week 12 victory over the Chargers, we get to PS2, Patrick Surtain.
Bye.
Bye, bye, bye.
That's pretty simple. Don't want to waste a lot of time on Pat Surtain. He was great. We all saw it. 2 interceptions, 1 for a touchdown.
Named AFC Defensive Player of the Week. It was announced earlier this morning. He became just the 4th Broncos rookie to win the AFC Defensive Player of the Week honor. The other rookies in Broncos history that have won it, Draymond Jones back in 2019, Vaughn back in 2011, and once upon a time in 2004 when DJ Williams did it. We move along playing Stock Watch. We get to Bradley Chubb.
Did he play?
He played. He played nearly half the snaps. He did not make it to the stat sheet.
No, I don't see his name. Sell. And when you don't see their name in the stat sheet, it's how can you buy? How can you hold? Now, he's coming off an injury. I was just joking, by the way. It was a joke. I could have made a better joke also, but I'm going to leave that guy in California. Okay.
I remember that game.
He had a couple of those.
Yeah. Raiders and Chiefs, right?
Yeah. There you go. Look at you.
Yep.
You're on it. Yep.
Didn't make the stat sheet.
Just going to leave that, though. Not going down that road. Told myself I'm be nice today.
Good job leaving it there.
Yep. Did. But he's not in the stat sheet, Zach.
Yeah.
I saw him out there. He's hurt. Coming back first game in a while.
We'll talk more about him in a minute here. We're playing Stock
Watch. We'll
see
how this thing ages here. It's not an indictment on what he's going to look like moving forward.
Nope.
But
simply reacting to Week 12 against the Chargers. Which Broncos are you buying, selling? Which stock are you just holding? We get to Baron Browning.
Bye.
Bye.
He was all over the football field. Mm-hmm. Really like what you're seeing from that guy. Young football player.
Flying around.
Making plays. It has you excited about watching, him, Jonathan Cooper, Caden Stearns.
McTelvin Ajeem.
Ajeem showed up. So it has you excited about some of these young guys,
encouraging.
On the defensive side of the football that,
Like in seasons past when the Broncos have been out of it, watching players like Baron Browning was like the focus of games. Like, hey, okay, Broncos are out of it, but what can we glean from these handful of weeks? Like, who's part of this core moving forward? What young guys are making plays? Well, young guys are making plays, then the Broncos are winning. So, pretty good spot to be in, but I was very impressed.
But we haven't had a lot of those.
No.
We haven't had a lot of young guys where we're, like, really excited about. We had to kind of almost go out of our way to find these guys.
Right.
Right now, they're winning football games, 3 out of their last 4, plus there's some youth here that you can get excited about.
They don't have him having a sack. I thought Baron Browning had a sack.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to remember.
He was like on the second level and like looped around in, or maybe it was just a quarterback hit.
Yeah.
But they don't have him down as one of those two. That's wrong. This box score from ESPN here on the .com.
ESPN saying their scorekeeper.
I'm just telling you, because I noticed it. Wait for it.
Oh,
on the rewatch.
Oh, on the rewatch on Monday.
That's right.
Wow.
But I watched that play like 5 times because it was like, I was like, look at that guy. Look at him loop around from the second level, make it to the quarterback in like a half a second. It was just super impressive from a like raw athleticism standpoint. Baron Browning, the 105th selection in the 2021 draft. 3rd round pick, 105th pick overall. So pretty cool. All right. We got one more playing Stock Watch. Reacting to Week 12, we get to Tom McMahon.
What? Bye.
Bye.
Tom McMahon. I wasn't expecting to see him on this list. I don't remember anything bad.
It was great.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. We didn't return anything to the house, but there was no bad penalty. I thought I was getting trapped here. Like, did they have a punt block that I didn't see?
It was unbelievable.
His ceiling is the sky.
It was unbelievable. Go ahead. I mean, Richie, empty the clip if you feel like it, because, like, the special teams did not hurt the Broncos not one time. In fact, they were a plus. They were pinning the Chargers inside the five on multiple occasions.
Yeah, Sam Martin had a good day.
Feed the stud.
Why not? And I
will defend, I will defend. We got a lot of firemen that haven't went into a building that's on fire, but they got to get in. The door's locked in the house. Not worried about him. We all have peripheral vision. All animals do. You start pulling the reins back on a horse, and pretty soon the horse isn't a horse anymore. Put that horse in that chute, and you saddle up and ride. And that's what I coach. It's just there on the rectangle. They're running the hypotenuse. We're all screwed. A squared plus B squared is C squared. I'm not very good at math. The diesels are out of the game, okay, so it's all Ferraris right now. Zach's juice is rare. I've learned a ton from Zach, so we're lucky to have him. Give us Hang. His ceiling is the sky. They got Zuzus, and they'll make you miss. You're throwing water balloons on a battleship. I don't even know how to really use a phone very well, so look at me. I eat too much at night. I need to be instinctively stay away from the fridge. Period. No excuses.
God. Even after these couple of years, man, it still just hits different.
Yep.
I absolutely love it.
That's our shout out. I got Stephen Priest put together.
Yes.
Together, right?
Yep.
Shout out to
yep.
old Stephen.
Yep. Golly, man. Good
Maybe
times.
Maybe a joke got played on Tom there.
Oh, my gosh. All right. How alarmed should we be with the lack of production from Bradley Chubb on Sunday in his first game back off of IR? Big deal? Little deal? Talk about it next.
I don't even know what Twitter is.
Getting you set for the biggest game since Super Bowl 50. Sunday night showdown between the Broncos and Chiefs at Arrowhead. Here's Stokely and Zach.
How alarmed should we be?
You gotta turn that button on. The on button. You gotta press that. You're over there trying to sing or something, and it wasn't going. I was watching you. You're like trying to sing the song, and I'm like, I'm not hearing anything in the headset. I'm like, his audio must not be on. Then you started trying to talk, and your button wasn't on, which made it even better. Yeah. Oh, here we go. All right, you can do it now. Go ahead. Come on. I know what you. I know what you said too. You were back there saying, uh oh, right. I can tell. Yeah. There it is. I knew it. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. You can't make this stuff up.
You thought you were going to get away with it.
My gosh. I love it.
Too good.
You got to hold each other accountable.
That's
man,
right.
You
know? That's what we do. That's what we do. And you...
Oh, my gosh. I remember that day,
I don't
too.
Remember that.
That was, we were doing some sort of, like, prayer was answered or something like that. Like, something. That actually came from me. Wow.
Yeah.
Gosh. All right. How alarmed should we be with the lack of production from Bradley Chubb on Sunday in his first game back off of IR? Big deal, little deal. Bradley Chubb literally did not register a statistic. He was out there for 30 snaps, which was over 40% of the defensive snaps. He is not found in the post-game stat sheet. If you extrapolate it to the first game he played of the year against the... Wait, nice. He did not play. I think he played against the Jags.
Yeah,
he didn't held out.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
He played against the Jags. So if you combine those snaps with these past Sunday snaps, we have 49 defensive snaps this season for Bradley Chubb. He has one single tackle, no pass breakup, no tackle for a loss, no quarterback hit, no sack.
So one tackle in the year.
Yeah.
That's really...
In about 50 snaps.
Yeah. It is concerning. It's alarming, and it's something to watch. It's not an indictment on what it's going to look like here moving forward or what he could do down the stretch. He had a long layoff. Didn't even expect him to play this week. We talked a lot about it, and they've always taken the cautious approach. And then there he was playing. Cliss told us early in the week last week.
He did. Yeah, good
and
call.
We were both surprised by that. And
yep.
He's out there. He's trying to, you know, be there for his teammates. And it's not like he's milking this thing and taking his time. And we just need to see more. That's really the bottom line. Just got to see more from Bradley Chubb. You just got to start making some plays because, you know, you were picked fifth overall. They did pick up your fifth-year option. But there's some circumstances surrounding what we're seeing right now. Right now. I'm not just talking about the overarching question of is he a bust? Is he this or that? You know, should they have taken, you know, none of that. It's just right now. Right now. When you look at what he had to deal with, when you look at all the time that he missed, it's hard to just step on the football field and bam, just go. And just start making plays all over the place. Now, I don't expect you to be shut out. How many plays did he have on Sunday?
He played 30 snaps.
Yeah, I'm not expecting to, you know, I'm expecting to see something. I'm not expecting a shutout. You got to have some type of impact. Do something. Should never get shut out with 30 plays here, Bradley Chubb. I don't care if you missed 10 games, 11 games, whatever it is. I don't care. You shouldn't be shut out. So it's something that we need to continue to follow. But hopefully it's just the first step for him to get back going a little bit, get in the groove, and we'll see Bradley Chubb making a big impact here moving forward. But it's not nothing because of what we've seen here over the last couple of years from Bradley Chubb. Fair?
Fair. Fair.
How do you look at it?
I am trying to understand the context of coming. You know, he's not in football shape. He just showed up back to practice this past week. But unfortunately, you know, the game unto itself is not a big deal to me. That being added to the gumbo of not good enough is a larger deal to me. It's a piece of a puzzle that is creating a picture that I don't like very much. And if we're honest about what, you know, what that picture is, it's, you know, we can disagree on the verbiage of a bus. I haven't said he's a bus. I said he's tracking to be a bus. There's still time.
Yeah.
We still got six games left here. If he wrecks two of them and comes back and has a big year next year, well, you know, it's constantly under evaluation. But what I know to date after, what are we, 3.5 years into this thing?
Yeah.
I mean, this is not a new relationship. And unfortunately, the best parts about this long-standing relationship were the early dates.
Right.
We've been together for a while now, and it hasn't been as satisfying.
Where's the spark?
I mean, forget the spark. This was supposed to be a bonfire. This is the fifth overall pick. So we can disagree on benchmarks and labels. Seriously, I mean, Bradley Chubb was a generational can't miss.
You ever thought you had yourself a 10, and then a couple years later, you're like, what'd you do to yourself?
So stupid.
I gave it a 10.
Ever happened to you?
Unfortunately, it's like we can disagree on this and that, but where someone will lose me is if they say it's been good enough.
Right.
That's
when
the hard
Tyler
stop.
Tyler is starting to backtrack off of it a little bit, but we're not letting you forget that, Tyler.
Well,
we're not letting you forget that, Tyler. I promise
he's
you.
He's coming
that.
Around.
Right. He's trying because he knew, and he knows now that we have him backed into the corner and we're just body blowing him unless he, you know, gets off of that ledge.
Yeah.
But it certainly hasn't been close to being good enough because your best moments were your rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a lifetime ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you were picked fifth overall. So
someone says Chubb hasn't wrecked two games in his career. You think he's going to wreck two games in the next 6 weeks?
That's fair.
Again, that is fair. Like, are we open and receptive to seeing that? Of course we are. We've emphasized as much as anyone else on this station. Like, his success is so vital and massively important to the Denver Broncos for a billion different reasons that we've all went over. I just want to be honest about what we're seeing and being sensitive to it with our antennas up moving forward.
And, Zach, we're watching these other guys. We're watching these other guys.
We
Jonathan
are.
Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
Rookie.
Right.
Seventh-round pick. You know, he's showing up.
Yeah.
Hey, okay. You don't have to get two sacks every game, but I'm seeing you show up. Malik Reed,
Baron Browning. And, by the way, someone said Baron Browning's sack got called back on a holding.
Yeah, or a PI, holding or defense,
okay.
PI, something like that. I think a Darby or something. Yeah. So, but, you know, we're seeing these other guys show up. Need to see Bradley Chubb show up.
Yeah.
Need to see him show up. It's not going to be making excuses for him that, oh, he's getting doubled. Forget it. Stop with that. Seeing that. Stop it. Stop it. You're the fifth overall pick. But we still got games to be played here down the stretch.
We do.
That hopefully he'll get his legs under him, get back into a little bit of football shape. We'll see. Because that is a hard thing to do. So I'm not going to – it's not an indictment, but it's a hard thing to do when you haven't practiced or played, put the pads on, gone in a game, and then all of a sudden you're like, boom, you're out there. So sometimes it takes a game, but we need to see it.
Need to see it. And guess what? This conversation, it can go a long way in changing the narrative if he wrecks a football game against the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday Night Football.
Oh, yes, yes.
All right, what was our biggest takeaways from Vic Fangio speaking today? We'll check in with Troy Rank coming up next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.